Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2021. I am your host, Robert. Not much intro here, to be honest, besides just reporting the news. Lately, kind of hard to know what to say at this point with all the things happening at such a rapid pace and not knowing what's really going on. First, what I want to say is I am not somebody who's going to abandon the fight. All right, no matter what the fight turns out to be, for a lot of you out there who are totally despondent or have given up, that might sound a little bit crazy, but I'm an optimist in situations like this. And the reason that I always have never quit in the face of adversity like this is because I've always believed that in a sea of horrible people, and we are in it, the liars, the cheats, the awful people, that there are also honorable people out there. We know there are because that's us. I am by no means a perfect person at all. In fact, sometimes, quite frankly, I'm not a very good person in the least bit. But I try to live my life according to a certain code, if you want to call it that. I believe in living a certain way, doing the right thing, standing up for what's right, telling the truth as best I can, treating people right. I mean, it's not hard. It's not a hard way to live. For everybody out there that's feeling totally despondent, I completely understand. I sympathize with you. I really do. I know that what we've been going through a lot as a country has gotten to everybody, not just the election cycle, but watching these bastards attack our president for 4 straight years. And lie and break every law imaginable. I mean, it's frustrating. I totally get it. But now isn't the time to give in and to quit. And I'm not saying you have to believe that Trump is still gonna pull this off or anything like that. We don't all have to agree about what's coming up. And quite frankly, none of us know what's going to happen. But what we can't do is throw our hands up in the air, drop out of this fight, and just turn it over to these people. Most of us haven't had to even do anything yet to try to save this country, right? And we're going to quit? That's exactly what the Democrats want. It's exactly what the globalists want. The deep state. This was all meant to take away your spirit. And if you allow them to do that to you, then they win. So no quitting. Yeah, it's difficult for us as Americans, as good Americans, not the brainwashed leftist morons who believe that, the government's got my best interests at heart. No, not those fools. It's hard for people like us to look around at the treachery, the deception, and lack of honor and dignity, especially in our party, and accept that this is the reality that we face. It didn't seem too long ago when there wasn't really too much we had to be concerned about, right? We all remember that America. I mean, as long as you're, of a certain age. We all knew government was corrupt, but at one point in our lives, like I said, if you're not, 20 years old or something like that, but despite the political differences, we were all still Americans. We were at least united by that common bond of being countrymen. We all knew that the politicians, they sucked. They were in it for themselves. But our daily lives went on. We felt like everything was okay. Our party seemed to have differences when it comes to like how money should be spent, their arguments over foreign policy, the merits of some programs over another. But at the end of the day, for a long time, it seemed like that at least nobody was trying to destroy the entire country. Despite differences, we were all Americans. We went to work, had families, went to the movies, had barbecues, the most part, enjoyed our lives. That's the America we all want to go back to. Just live our lives and leave us the hell alone. And that was maybe our problem. We had it too good. Not everybody, of course. I'm just talking about collectively. We had very, very little to really complain about, and we kind of got lulled to sleep. When we started to see signs that all wasn't right in the government, we didn't really do anything. We saw the left really march towards communism under Obama. And, you know, he basically radicalized the left. And then it continued under Trump, you know, when he took office. But we thought that our party was there to protect us. But as it turns out, most of our party was right there with him. I think because we thought that there were still good guys in government, that we were somehow safe. And that's where I think we made the big mistake. As a country, we made a couple of mistakes. One that I'm going to get into, but not too much right now, in fact, I think barely at all, is our turning away from God and religion, our spiritual life. Because it's done two things to us, I think. It's lowered our moral compass. It's made us less likely to reject the left's constant attack on our morality and our traditions and our way of life. And it's also taken away our faith. When you take away faith, it takes away resolve and it takes away courage. And so now people too easily, they just give up. And whenever there's adversity to be faced, their first thing, their first instinct is, let's just throw in the towel. Let's just quit. The second, we allow the left, mostly Obama and that administration and the media, to use this this Saul Alinsky playbook and divide us up into little groups of victims. I've said before, Obama was the one who in the deep state 16-year plan, he was going to come in, divide up the nation while pretending to be the unifier. He was going to run as a centrist and then govern as a leftist globalist. He pitted everyone against each other, separated people into groups, promoted grievances and victimhood so that by the time he left office, everybody was a victim of something. Everybody had someone else to blame. It was and is completely un-American in terms of the ideology. Once we're a nation of people with very diverse ideas, but who could at least get along with each other. And then we became a nation that was divided against each other. And before we really figured it out, it was already done. Trump, when he ran, however, he knew that the American spirit was still there, that it had just been squashed by the left a little bit. And that's why there was so much pro-Americanism and patriotism, the rallies, the unapologetically pro-American agenda. He knew it was still there. It just needed to be brought out. We've seen over the last 4 years, someone come in and fight for the country that we thought was almost lost. We had suffered 8 years under Obama, his anti-Americanism, his horrible economic policies, weak foreign policy, his apology tours, and everything else. It was a difficult 8 years. And that should give us a little something to hold on to right now too, right? We were mostly asleep under Obama, or at least not as united as we are now, and we made it through. I know these times are way more dangerous, and we're way further along down the path of their plan, but we're also more dangerous, okay? So are we, because our numbers have grown, their numbers have shrank, and we're aware of what they're doing now. Trump, no matter what happens in the next week, has done a remarkable service for this country. He has shown us that every single thing that the left says is a lie. Everything. He's shown us that their narrative that we can't manufacture in America is wrong, that we can't be energy independent is wrong, that we can't protect our borders is wrong, that we can't have an incredible economy is wrong, right? That we can't have record low unemployment is wrong, that we can't maintain our position as the world power is wrong. Most of all, he's shown us that not just this country, but the entire world, that there is almost no one in government to be trusted, that people in government worldwide are not there to serve their people, not the people that they represent. They're there to serve themselves. And those that you thought were your allies are just as treacherous and abhorrent people as the ones that you thought were your most hated enemies. They're tricksters. They're liars. We as a nation have learned that our elected leaders are nothing short of criminals. Well, at least half of us have. Democrats who sit there and watch, you know, state-run media and would never think to venture elsewhere to get a second opinion on anything, never got to see even for 1 second the overwhelming evidence of fraud that we saw. CNN, MSNBC, they told him that we were lying, it was a conspiracy theory, and they bought it. And maybe we'll talk more about them later, but for the vast numbers around the world, Trump was and is a symbol of somebody who fought for them and for their well-being and for their future. People in Europe, people in Asia, they love him because they know that he was going against the establishment that we all know was oppressing the world for their own gain. Even if he wasn't their president, he still represented a fight, a struggle that so many people are going through worldwide. This isn't Democrat versus a Republican thing. This isn't just an American problem. This is the ruling class versus the people. This is the globalist elites in government, country after country, serving their own interests and the interests of the central banking system, there for their own money and power, who just use us to keep them in the positions that they have. The veil is off. I mean, the Republican Party? Please, good friggin' luck. You're done, especially in the Senate, but the whole party is done. Most likely we're going to see a new political party emerge from all this that will be Trump-style Republicans and moderate Democrats joining forces. The ones from both parties who are still patriotic, who still love the country and love the founding ideals and principles of this country and the Constitution. Then you're going to be left with two small minority parties, the leftist nut jobs and the old school Republican establishment, okay? The 10% that they managed to keep. This, even if things do not work out how we want them to, is something that I don't think that they can contain any longer. This coming together of nationalists, populists, whatever you want to say. Right now, the entire Democrat Party and globalist Republicans are operating on a complete falsehood, a lie. Joe Biden didn't get over 80 million votes. Joe Biden couldn't get 60 million. We know what happened. I mean, Trump, they're saying 75 million votes, okay? And that's what the Democrats are willing to admit. That's the number that they say he got. And that's over 10 million more than he got last time. And they're admitting to that. But they want you to believe that Sleepy Joe outperformed Obama. Yeah, sure. Point is, like I said in the last episode, I think, we didn't just win. We crushed them. We crushed the left. I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, but we didn't win. If they stole it, we didn't actually win. Well, let's see. All right. How do you legitimately govern a populace in America that didn't vote for you and knows you're a fraud? I think if the true numbers ever come out, you're going to see that this was like a, 45, 48 state landslide and over 90 million votes for Trump. I would almost guarantee it. We saw rallies in states that never had rallies like that before. We had Trump rallies in California and New Jersey, right? In all these blue states. It was huge. And that's one of the reasons you see nothing but fear on their faces. They know they aren't serving the people. They know they stole this. They know that we know. It's the greatest farce in American history. And one way or another, it's not going to stand. Now, there's a lot of people out there who still think something is coming before the election. Some are from, you know, the Patriot 17 movement. Some are listening to hints given by people like General Flynn and Lynn Wood and things like that. I'm not going to tell you that I think it's probable, but here is where I'm just kind of astounded and I'm still holding out some hope and why I want to believe it. Okay. We saw the evidence. I'm not going to go over it. You know what I'm talking about. You know, some of it was conclusive. Some of it was minor. By minor evidence, I mean, you know, somebody puts up a photo of like a Trump ballot laying in the sewer. Okay, we get it. You know, stuff like that happens, but that's not going to swing an election. So there's that kind of evidence. Some of it was massive. Okay. The evidence to me that really matters is in terms of whether there's going to be some kind of an intervention is the foreign interference, the vote switching. We have heard very trustworthy people talk about it. We heard Flynn. We heard Trump himself. We heard Giuliani. we heard that the colonel, I can't remember his name right now. I didn't put it in my notes here, talking about how they had the data from Frankfurt, how they have the data bits going back and forth. We've got affidavits from cybersecurity people who did the forensics. General McInerney saying that electronic fraud was happening from various countries, and that was all overseen and coordinated by the Hammer software. All right? Plus all the rest. Plus all of the rest of the stuff that we saw. And also, DNI Ratcliffe saying that there was foreign interference from China. If we saw this evidence, so did the military. Or at least some in the military. I don't know how many people see it, but... And it's difficult for me to comprehend that they would have seen all this and don't have a plan to act. Because really you're talking about China having infiltrated our government officials and having infiltrated our voting system. And if China can do that here, if they have Hammer, then they can also influence elections all over the world. Probably have been, right? Our European allies, our allies in Asia. This puts our military in danger. I do not want to believe that they will not act. If they do, it will probably be last minute. If they don't, well, then we truly are in a bad, bad situation. See, I'm not talking about the soldiers. We know that they're loyal to Trump. But soldiers take orders. Soldiers need a chain of command. I was distressed this week to see the Joint Chiefs, you know, the generals of the various branches of the military. They penned a letter to the men and women in uniform basically stating that in these, you know, contentious times, they were disappointed to see the storming of the Capitol, how lawless that was. There's no place for that. And that is absolutely true. And that they have to protect Americans and always follow the Constitution. But the part that was distressing is, you know, they said the states have certified the results. The court looked into the matter, which is an absolute lie. The courts have not looked into the matter. And that Congress certified the vote for Biden and that he's going to be peacefully sworn in on the 10th as our 46th commander in chief. Now, that could all be optics, okay? That fact may be true. That could be what happens. But why pen a letter? That doesn't make sense. Why would you write to your own troops and tell them that we have to follow the Constitution and remember our oaths and everything? Why did the former defense secretaries, all globalists, by the way, who all worked for Obama and Bush and the two guys fired by Trump, why did they pen a similar letter and warn the current Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, not to use the military? They genuinely seem stressed out about this. Two letters. Now, if you remember, Esper was the Secretary of Defense. He was relieved of his duties by Trump after the election. And Chris Miller was put in, who everybody complained is a Trump loyalist. He is in command of the military, all branches above the generals, and he answers to only one person, and that's Trump. And that's kind of interesting to me. You know, I look at things like Chris Miller being put in place. I look at Nancy Pelosi's laptop reportedly being taken by our people and her meltdown after that. And what does she do? That frantic rush to try to get Trump out of the office before the inauguration. I look at thousands of National Guard troops assembling in D.C. and I just pray that if the right people like the military and Ratcliffe have poured through all the evidence, not just of the election, but of collusion with foreign governments, crimes against humanity, trafficking, bribes, money laundering, etc., all the stuff that we've seen over the last couple of years, that they're going to be forced to do the right thing and step in. But there's no guarantee of that. Even Pompeo, like he slipped up in a speech the day before yesterday saying Trump administrations when he was talking about foreign policy. So all these little nuggets. The other thing that doesn't make sense to me is this, okay? Trump is not a fool. He's not an idiot. He was a successful real estate developer, a celebrity, he's a billionaire. He's got a wife and he's got kids, okay? He's got a great life for himself. Trump is no fool. He knows the power of the central banks, the Rothschilds, and all the shadow governments around the world. He knows to go against them most likely means dying. Because all the other presidents have not gone against these people, they're fine. Only Trump did, and that's why they absolutely flipped out like they did and tried to destroy him. I mean, was anything rational that you saw in the last 4 years? It doesn't matter who's elected president. Normally, you know, Bush gets elected president, the liberals make fun of him and harass him for 4 years. Obama gets elected president, we do the same. It goes back and forth and back and forth. Did you ever see anything so irrational as the last 4 years? You have to ask yourself why. It's because he's the only one that wasn't an insider and went after these people. If there was no plan in place, if there was nobody helping Trump in very high places, to me this would be the military, I think, how would he think that he has a hope of succeeding? And how would he think he even has a hope of staying alive? Without help, it would make sense to me that Trump would look at the situation as being absolutely futile. So why did he run? Right? Why did he run and win and do all he did only to hand it back to them at the very last moment? It's very possible the plan was in place and at some point something went very wrong. They thought they had a winning plan, but it failed. Okay, that's possible too. But the idea that Trump knew what he was up against and did this alone is insane to me. I refuse to believe that. For me, it would make sense that the military, the ones that have all the intel, would have been the one who was his ally in this. It would gut me if it doesn't happen, because the honor and the morality of the military is something that I don't want to stop believing in. Politicians, I know what they're there for. They're there for the money and the power and to rob us blind and to lie to us and to pretend that they're helping, but they're only helping themselves. I get it. But I have a better opinion of our military. If left to the soldiers, I think this would have been done already. But let's face it, there isn't much soldiers are going to be able to do without the brass. Let's keep an eye on this. If we know how fraudulent this was, if we know the dangers of China, if we know how close we are to communism, then so do they. Now let's hope that they do something about it. If they don't, it's a whole new ball game, and we have to adapt and keep fighting in all the ways that we can, which are actually a lot. I think we're going to leave that to a whole new episode after the 20th. We're going to find out what happens. For now, let's go over some of the ridiculousness of the past day or so. So, like we said, ever since the Capitol situation on the 6th, Pelosi has been unhinged, all right? She went to the military, basically asked them to stage a coup. They told her no, which once again is treason. That's treason again. Then she demands of Mike Pence that he invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. This too did not work, and Pence told her no, and he issued this statement. Every American was shocked and saddened by the attack on our nation's capital last week, and I'm grateful for the leadership that you and other congressional leaders provided in reconvening Congress to complete the people's business on the very same day. It was a moment that demonstrated to the American people the unity that is still possible in Congress when it is needed most. That could be one of the most stupid, profoundly wrong and out-of-touch statements I've ever heard anybody write. But now, with just 8 days left in the president's term, you and the Democrat caucus are demanding that the cabinet and I invoke the 25th Amendment. I do not believe that such a course of action is the best interest of our nation and or consistent with our Constitution. Now he's a constitutional scholar. Last week, I did not yield to pressure to exert power beyond my constitutional authority to determine the outcome of the election, and I will now not yield to efforts in the House of Representatives to play political games at a time so serious in the life of our nation. As you know full well, the 25th Amendment was designed to address presidential incapacity or disability. Just a few months ago, when you introduced legislation to create a 25th Amendment commission, you said, "A president's fitness for office must be determined by science and facts." You said then that we must be very respectful of not making a judgment on the basis of a comment or behavior that we don't like, but based on a medical decision. Madam Speaker, you were right. Under our Constitution, the 25th Amendment is not a means of punishment or usurpation. Invoking the 25th Amendment in such a matter would set a terrible precedent. Now, despite my own opinions on Pence, he did the right thing here. To the point where you almost have to hope that the whole thing at the vote was an act to bring us to this point, but I doubt it. But regardless, Pelosi was so frantic to get rid of Trump before this term is over, it's not rational. I mean, after the 6th, he's got 2 more weeks. What is she afraid of? Is she afraid he's gonna to dump all the evidence of fraud and make Joe like a worldwide laughingstock? Afraid he's gonna use the military? Afraid he's gonna declassify everything and let the public see who these people really are? That's why I think this might not truly be over. So after this didn't work, she goes for impeachment, and wouldn't you know it, she got her wish yesterday. The House, for the second time, pisses off the majority of Americans and they vote to impeach Trump on charges of inciting insurrection, which again is laughable because these people committed a coup, right? They commit a coup, commit 1,000 crimes, and then they're charging him and impeaching him. The vote yesterday was 232 to 197 with 10 Republicans crossing the line and voting to impeach. Good luck at your next election. But we know already right now that we've got 10 Republicans who can be coerced to vote with the Democrats for anything. If they would vote, if these 10 Republicans would vote with the Democrats to impeach Trump, they will vote with the Democrats on anything. What was fantastic was how the Republicans who fought back, like Jim Jordan, just annihilated the Democrats, right? Made them look like fools. And they were panicking. As soon as these people got up and started speaking, the Democrats just lost their minds. This is just part of Jordan's speech. I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. Democrats objected to more states in 2017 than Republicans did last week, but somehow we're wrong. Democrats can raise bail for rioters and looters this summer, but somehow when Republicans condemn all the violence this summer, the violence last week, somehow we're wrong. And Democrats can investigate the President of the United States, as Mr. Hoyer went through, try to impeach him, investigate him for 4 years, but will not look at an election that 80 million Americans, half of the electorate, Republicans and Democrats, have their doubts about. I said this last night, I do not know where all this goes, and this is frightening for the country. On Wednesday, Rep. Gohmert read off of Pelosi's previous statement on the House floor, okay? And this is from the Gateway Pundit. It did not occur to Democrats that Louis was quoting Speaker Pelosi, and they lost their minds. This is what he said. I just don't know why there aren't more uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be. The left on Twitter lost it. They lost their minds. Oh my God, why hasn't he been arrested for inciting violence? Ban him. Why is he still allowed in Congress? Blah, blah, blah. He's quoting Pelosi, you morons. Funny none of you liberals had an issue with it when she said it, right? This is a great move by Gohmert. Points out the hypocrisy, points out how stupid they are. It was awesome. So anyway, Trump, he just completely blows off the impeachment, right? Like it's not even happening. He gave some medals away yesterday. McConnell the traitor said that he does believe that Trump should be impeached, but it appears he's not going to call in the Senate to vote on the impeachment until at least the 19th, which means nothing would really happen until Trump is out of office anyway. Now, I'm a little bit worried about this because if they do fear that Trump is going to do something, they might try to reconvene and get him out because that would take away his power with the military. And McConnell knows he's a target. And if our men in uniform were to step in, okay, I think 85% of Congress are headed to Gitmo anyway. So, at that point, it wouldn't even matter. But even Mitch is smart enough to realize what would happen to this country if they ran through a trial. I mean, if you think we're angry now, imagine. So I don't think we have to worry about the 25th Amendment. We don't have to worry about impeachment. But the Democrats just managed to divide the country even further. Biden keeps talking about, I'm going to come in here and we're going to reunite the country and there's going to be peace and there's going to be healing. Okay. So the first thing that the Democrats do is impeach again, push for a coup by going to the military and try the 25th Amendment. 3 strikes, you're out. All 3 didn't work, but that's your healing. Now, one thing we do have to worry about is this. The Democrats are absolutely terrified of the numbers of people that voted for Trump. They know they stole the election. We know they don't feel in control because of the massive censorship that just happened. This massive social media purge. They don't want us talking. They don't want us sharing info. They don't want the president communicating with us. We've seen Ocasio-Cortez call for the media to be more regulated and reined in, okay, so that the right information is allowed out there. Could she be more fascist? We've seen calls for re-education camps. We've seen companies banning anybody that worked in the Trump administration from holding a job. People are losing their websites, their credit card processing, their bank investments, I mean, everything. They are not playing around anymore. Now, what's the one thing that they weren't able to do? They were not able to disarm you. They hate the Second Amendment. So what's their plan? Just like the Capitol, they need a false flag so they can make the catastrophe that ensues make that their next issue to attack and to make headway on when everybody is all stirred up and emotional. You've seen this warning by the trustworthy FBI of Chris Wray that armed pro-Trump protests are being planned all over the Capitol and the 50 state capitals. Do not believe this, and do not think that this is real, organized by anybody on our side, or in any way is a good idea to attend. They're trying to get you there armed, where Antifa actors are going to be there dressed up as Trump supporters, and something is going to happen. Someone's going to try to shoot at police. They're going to try to start some kind of an armed conflict in as many places as possible. They want you to look violent. They want a reason to enact more gun laws and strip away the Second Amendment. Remember, if Biden is in there, they're going to try to pack the Supreme Court, and I bet the Supreme Court takes up that case, right? They're going to take up 2A. Not election fraud, but if the Second Amendment comes up, they'll take that and they'll vote. And if they have the Supreme Court packed, it's going to be awfully tough. Anyway, do not fall for this. Trump issued 2 separate warnings on this. That means he knows exactly what these people are up to, and it's no good. 2 warnings by Trump not to have anything to do with this. He knows it's a trap. He issued a statement 2 days ago, and then yesterday he issued this video. Let's take a look at what he said. Whether you are on the right or on the left, a Democrat or a Republican, there is never a justification for violence. No excuses, no exceptions. America is a nation of laws. Those who engaged in the attacks last week will be brought to justice. Now I am asking everyone who has ever believed in our agenda to be thinking of ways to ease tensions, calm tempers, and help to promote peace in our country. There has been reporting that additional demonstrations are being planned in the coming days, both here in Washington and across the country. I have been briefed by the U.S. Secret Service on the potential threats. Every American deserves to have their voices heard in a respectful and peaceful way. That is your First Amendment right. But I must emphasize that there must be no violence, no law breaking, and no vandalism of any kind. I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America great again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass our fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you're attacking it, and you're attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it. This isn't the full statement, but it's close. I took it from the Epoch Times. Now, fully condemning violence and separating himself and anything that happens from himself and his supporters and the ideology, the movement, and everything else, that's great. He knows this is a trap. But if you read it, if you read the statement carefully, what he's basically describing in most of this entire thing is Antifa, the left, and all of the violence that happened over the summer. He's describing them, and he's saying that these people can't be tolerated. This kind of action is anti-American, this kind of action is against the law. So he's basically describing the left, calling them out, and then saying, we would never support this kind of thing. All you need to do is sit home. If the Patriots are in control of this situation, then they will handle it. If not, there's nothing good that's going to come from an armed protest at a state capitol except to destroy all the work the president has done for the country for years. Don't be duped into this. All right, just a couple of other short stories here before I end for the day. Marjorie Greene is a freshman rep from Georgia. She's going to be introducing articles of impeachment against Joe Biden on January 21st for abuse of power. I'm going to take this from Gateway Pundit. Marjorie Taylor Greene made the announcement tonight on Greg Kelly Reports. Greene told Greg Kelly, "We cannot have a president of the United States that is willing to abuse the power of the office of the presidency and be easily bought off by foreign government, Chinese energy companies, Ukrainian energy companies. So on January 21st, I will be filing articles of impeachment on Joe Biden. And for millions of Americans, it will be the first time that they've ever heard about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and their deals with China or Ukraine." Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene added, "We don't let criminals serve in our office. We don't need a man serving in the presidency of the United States who is guilty of committing the crime of abuse of power and is under investigation." How many people out there do you think even know that he's investigated and wanted for crimes in the Ukraine? How many people do you think have seen the quid pro quo video of Biden? And that's what will come out. This is another good thing to come from Trump, is these MAGA-style people getting into government, and a lot of them are pretty fearless. And I'll say this again, Republican women have more balls and are more willing to fight for this country right now than the Republican men I see. Maybe too many soy lattes for the men, I don't know what's going on, but it's the women of this party lately that are standing up and fighting. The other story that's laughable is this. Twitter bans Trump. Then they ban over 70,000 other people, right? They take a big monetary hit, same thing with Facebook. Jack comes out and says that, oh, this is regrettable. It sets a dangerous precedent. His own actions sets a dangerous precedent, he says, okay? The funny thing is, the African nation of Uganda, they blocked social media apps, including Twitter, ahead of their election that they're having. And Twitter had this to say in response. "Ahead of the Ugandan election, we're hearing reports that internet service providers are being ordered to block social media and messaging apps. We strongly condemn internet shutdowns. They are hugely harmful, violate basic human rights, and the principles of the hashtag open internet." You cannot make this up. All right, I just want to remind you of one thing. We've faced this evil before, and we've beaten it. Friends across the pond have done the same thing. Nothing in history lasts forever, and nothing is permanent. If things do not go our way, we can and will turn it around, but only if we don't quit on each other. Nothing horrible is permanent. Things that seem hopeless only seem hopeless. Want some real-world proof? Go search for images of Germany and France bombed to rubble after World War II. Look at the utter devastation. Now search those same cities today. Even Hiroshima is rebuilt. If we fall, it just means that we have to rise again. And 90 million Trump supporters have a lot of legs to make that happen. All right, that's it for today. If you like the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people that would enjoy it as well, please share it with them. And I'll talk to you all again soon. Pray for our country. God bless America. Take care.